The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Tuesday to you. This is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and you may be wondering, what am I doing on your radio or smart speaker? Well, today we are taking questions from listeners just like you. Our question for today is from a philosopher, it seems like. Here's an interesting question that we're going to try to tackle. If belief is persuasion and not an act of the will, how could belief be an act of obedience? What a great question, and it will produce an interesting conversation, I think. But before we get to that, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference. I mean, if you've got these kind of questions and you want to go deeper, we would love to see you face-to-face at our conference. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right. Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. I don't know what platforms we're on now. I don't know all the apps that we're on, because the interesting thing is, once you kind of sign up for one podcast app, sometimes you get signed up for a bunch of other little ones.
See, I wouldn't know an app from anything.
No. Yeah, I mean, me too. I'm barely.
Spotify?
I mean,
Spotify. I don't know what is Spotify.
You know, I know what it is. I used to love music, so I would have, you know, I would have known about all these things.
Oh, is Spotify primarily music?
I think so. If it had happened, like, you know, 25 years ago. When I was a teenager, I loved music, but I don't know what happened. After I became a Christian, I just didn't really care about music anymore. Yeah, I mean, you guys are listening, so you obviously know what's going on. We appreciate that.
But tell other people so they know.
Can you explain to others how these things work? Because Bob and I don't really know. Okay, here we go. Here's a question from David. All right, now this is kind of a philosophical question, and we were talking about it before even recording this show.
Which is rare for us, but we did talk about this question.
David asks, in your radio program about loving God as a condition of salvation, you mentioned that belief could be considered obedience to the command to believe, John 3:36. If belief is persuasion and not an act of the will, how could belief be an act of obedience, which seems to require the will? So anyways, that's the portion of, I guess, the email you got. And I broke it out here into three questions, but there's probably four. And so let me just see if I understand. So the first question is, can you call belief obedience, biblically speaking?
It seems to me you can, and I would give you two verses. Okay, one is John 3:36 that he mentions, we talked about evidently last year, and I believe these are the words of John the Baptist, although some people think they're the words of the Apostle John.
Yeah.
And could you read John 3:36? This will be in the New King James, right?
He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So that's believe.
Yeah, except in Greek, it's ha pistuon, the one who believes, and ha apathon, the one who disobeys.
And I think some translations put it as
the New American Standard says, and he who does not obey the Son shall not see life. And I think both are acceptable translations, and here's why. I believe it's BDAG, the leading lexicon for the New Testament, says under apatho that can be understood as disbelief here, because the number one act of disobedience was to reject Christ and to reject his saving message.
Yeah.
So is it an act of obedience in a sense? Yes. Another verse I would cite would be John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. Legalistic Jews asked Jesus, what work shall we do that we may work the works of God?
Right.
And Jesus had just been talking about reaping eternal rewards for eternal life. And so they're thinking, how do we get into the kingdom? And they say, what works do we need to do that we may work the works of God? And his answer is, John 6:29, this is the work singular of God that you believe in him whom he sent.
So now that takes the question into a slightly different direction, because we were talking about obedience, and it seems that John is comfortable comparing belief to all kinds of different things in his gospel, right? John 1:12, he who believes, and he compares that to receiving, apparently receiving a guest or something. Or he compares it to eating, and he compares it to drinking, and he compares. So here he calls it, you know, it's you either believe or you disobey, because, you know, we're commanded to believe. But now the second question is, okay, just because belief is an act of obedience, does that make it a work in Paul's sense of faith versus works?
Well, clearly not.
And well, you suggested, based on John 6:28, that you can call it a work. Jesus did. Except Jesus seems to be calling it a work in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way, right?
Right. I remember talking to Zane Hodges about this, and he said that clearly the Lord Jesus in John 6:29 does not mean by work what Paul means in Ephesians 2:8-9, where he says, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Yeah.
It's not some sort of work of obedience to the commands, plural, of God.
Yeah.
It is an action, and Hodges says it's an action, but he did say what you're saying, that he's probably using work in an ironic sense here.
Yeah.
Of course, it's called, I think, illocutionary force, and that is when someone says something, you can hear in their voice a tone that gives you a clue what they mean. Well, when you're reading the written word, we don't know. Is he saying, hey, this is the work of God that you believe? Did he use it ironically? Probably. So he's really saying the only act you can do is to believe, and even that act is a passive act.
Right.
Right? In other words, it's not something we actively do, but then that leads to his further question.
Well, so the way I'm trying to think through his question here, I guess the third part is, he says, well, if belief is not an act of the will.
And maybe we should explain why we say that.
But obedience is, you know, then how can belief be an act of obedience if no will is involved? Okay, so here's what we say. And actually, this is not unique to us. I mean, just go online and just read about what philosophers say about belief. And whether belief.
Or theologians,
but not so much theologians. Yeah. They're usually kind of less precise. But whether belief is voluntary or not, whether you choose what you believe. Like if I'm holding up this interlinear and I show it to Bob, Bob forms the belief Sean is holding a interlinear.
Right.
And you can't choose to believe that. You can't choose to believe that I'm actually holding up a pipe, you know, that I'm about to smoke on the show or something. You can't choose to believe that. We don't choose our beliefs. If we did, we would all be in the nut house, you know, because we'd have to make sure that we're choosing. Like, imagine if you're driving down the highway and you're like, oh, I better not choose to believe that I'm lying on a beach like in the Caribbean right now.
And don't choose to believe there's an accident.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be in this big
Absolutely.
Accident.
Absolutely. We just don't choose our beliefs. That's not how it works. So we say, you know, the will is not involved directly in choosing to believe. But philosophers will say the will is indirectly involved. You can make
how
choices
so?
That influence your belief.
Okay, good.
So like, for example, do you believe the lights are on or off in the office?
On.
On. I do too, because they are. But if I wanted you to believe that the lights were off, what could I do?
Have me close my eyes or blindfold me.
Yeah, or I could walk over to the light switch and turn it off.
And then blindfold me and then say, are they on or off?
Well,
last time I was seeing, they were
well,
on.
Well, yeah, maybe. That's right. So we can do things like if you want to believe that the lights are off, well, you can freely choose to go over to the light switch, turn off the lights, and then you'll be like, ah, the lights are off. And so the will is involved in when you're exploring questions of faith, you can choose to read the Bible, go to church, ask questions, listen to the answers, seek out new questions, new evidence, new information, or you can choose to just run away from all the evidence for a certain position. So the will is involved in, you might say, the seeking side of things, or the avoiding.
Right.
Seeking or avoiding. But it's not directly involved in the choosing.
And I can give you a couple of verses that talk about that.
Yeah.
Acts 17:27 is where Paul says before the Athenian philosophers that God has granted to people that they might grope after God.
Yeah.
If perchance they might find him.
Yes.
And he's not far from all of us.
Yes.
So groping or seeking after God is something God has led. Or Acts chapter 10. Cornelius is a God-fearer whose prayers ascended to God, whose almsgiving ascended to God. As a result, God sent an angel who told him, you're to send to Simon Peter, and he'll give you words by which you and your household must be saved, Acts 11:14. So he came to faith and was born again in part because his prayers and alms ascended to God.
Right. So he was.
But they weren't saving. It's not like there's any merit in his prayers or alms.
No, no. God didn't save him on the basis of faith plus his alms.
Right.
He saved him on the basis of faith only.
Right. But what he was doing did incline God to give him more light.
Right. So that's a part of the answer. So this question, though.
And I need to say one more thing, by the way.
Oh, you do? What?
It's about determinism. If he's saying, what did he say about persuasion and being persuaded?
If persuasion is not an act of the will, how could belief be an act of obedience?
Right. So if you don't.
And that's a good question.
It sounds like he's saying that persuasion is not an act of the will. Therefore, it sounds like he's saying persuasion just happens to you. But if that were the case, and we had no influence over whether we became persuaded,
yeah,
well, then we'd all be Calvinists, right? We'd all say God elected those who are going to be saved, and he causes you to be persuaded. You aren't persuaded because you pray about it, because you seek the truth. Those who are going to be saved, God opens their eyes and persuades them,
right.
And the rest he doesn't.
Well, see, I guess our answer would be to take a step back and to say, well, God doesn't cause you to seek him. You know, that's on you. That's your responsibility.
He motivates you to do it.
He's wooing you. God's
right.
Wooing you. But then you're either groping for him or not, or maybe you're choosing not to grope for him.
Right. You're
and
either
so,
responding to his. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, or all people unto me.
So when he says, how could belief be an act of obedience if the will is not involved? I'm paraphrasing. That is a good question, but I think we would answer by saying it's because the will is involved in everything up to the point of you being persuaded.
Right.
And so maybe that's how you can call it an act of obedience. But then again, this is just based on one verse where John is just comparing belief and disobedience.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I don't know, maybe we're making a mountain out of a molehill here.
But the key point is, in order to have everlasting life, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for that life.
Yeah.
And God doesn't force anybody to believe, nor does he keep us from believing. But he's drawing us to believe. And how all that works out, well, there's a certain mystery in that, but it's not determinism.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about being excommunicated, church, and fellowship with Christ. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.